Yep, that's right. It's the Cultoberfest 2016, night 3, 1, 2, 3. Yes, we can count on this show. And you can count on us to be here, clever as I am. And we're going to be talking with a fellow member of the SRT team who also happens to be my oldest son. But we'll get to that in a second. But let me unmute Joe here. Hey, Joe, how are you, man? Joe.
Hey, it's Joe. Good to be here.
Come Hello. In, Joe.
Joe is here.
Hey, man, how are you?
Good. How are you? Very good to be here. And as always, it's it seems like the past few months we haven't really been on a consistent basis of recording together. So it's really good to be here. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. And it's a beautiful day in New England. And if you're a New England Patriot fan, it's even more beautiful because right now, everywhere you turn, every street corner, it's Tom Brady.
Well, Gronkowski needs to cut back on the caffeine. He was a little jacked today. I didn't watch the game, but I saw the clips online.
Oh yeah, he's getting too much. I mean, he's at that point where, you know, so every so often he rears his true colors, and he taunts on the field, and he can look. He's a big guy. It's totally understandable where the Patriots are going, how they're playing right now. You know, Tom Brady coming back. It's a little bit of confidence. It's some arrogance. And right now in the AFC, I don't really see anybody better than them. So we'll see as the season goes on. Hey, but anyway, it is good to be here.
Are you on a microphone?
Correct.
Make sure it's all plugged in. Make sure it's completely plugged in because it's going in and out. Or is it Bluetooth?
Okay. No, it's mic right now.
Okay, make sure it's plugged in. Let's see. Feast of Tabernacles began tonight at sundown, the actual birth of the Messiah, if that's what you want to do and not do the pagan thing. But anyway, really quickly before we get into this, I've been watching a show on Sci-Fi you may want to check out called Aftermath. It's a Canadian show. So it takes place in the United States, of course, but post-apocalyptic society. Natural disasters, all of a sudden people are getting possessed and they show you the demons coming out of them. The mythical beasts are suddenly back on the earth. They don't explain why, and I think they're going to do it as they go along. I've watched 3 episodes on demand. It's interesting. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. I want to see where it's going, but it's kind of like they took all of the apocalyptic things and threw it into one pot. So, I just, you know, figure I'll give it, since we're talking the occult and the paranormal, I'd give everybody a heads up about that. Tonight's going to be interesting. I don't think we've ever done this before. We've had SRT team members on the show before, but it should be interesting. And I say, let's, you know, we'll get right into it. You should know by now we're on Spreaker Live. You can get it archived here. You can also still find it on the old Blog Talk site after midnight. We're on iTunes. And the great thing is, since I put it back on Blog Talk, we have 2 audiences running the same time. And I don't know where the numbers are coming from, but we're cranking it in on iTunes. The Porch is also on iHeartRadio. So we're getting the word out there, and we're believing for the blessing so SRT can hit the road. But many of you have heard about Jesse. You've seen his posters in the post office. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. I've talked about him. I've talked about my boys. If you were in McCullough 2 years ago, you would have met him. If you've had the pleasure of seeing the private video about that mission, you know who he is. He's married, has my daughter-in-law that happens to also be his wife. That's kind of how it works. Great couple. He's a small business owner, fitness professional, former law enforcement, FSU graduate, and, of course, he's also my son. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the introduction. Can you go in front of me before anywhere I go from now on?
Yeah, I'll just record it for you. You can just play it on your phone.
Yeah, that's gonna be... That was the best introduction ever. Like I can't ask for anything better than that. I'm happy to be here. It's a joy to be able to do this on my Sunday night. So let's get rolling.
Cool. I've given people a little bit about Joe, you want to jump in and say hi?
Well, yes. First of all, hi, Jesse. It's really good to have you here. I'm happy that you're here. And when you had said that, Richard, that, you know, when we did the case out there in Alabama, it was 2 years ago. I just can't believe 2 years has flown by so fast. It was 2 years ago that we all fellowshipped and got together. But it was a great introduction, and I think I'm going to pay you to give me an introduction, and I'll just play it on a tape on my phone every time I go somewhere.
Well, if we're going to do that, anybody wants an introduction, you email me with the information, I'll record it for you. Maybe. All right.
You go on that website, Fiverr, and you just need to start offering it. It's Fiverr. Just start offering it to people. $5 an introduction.
Crazy. Anyway, a lot of the people really don't know much about you, so I've given your name and your background and a little bit about what you do, but how did we get to the point where, you know, you're here tonight and don't talk, you know, you and mom one night? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Tell us the people a little bit about yourself and about your background, what you do.
Oh, well, you know, being born into the family that I was born into gave me a certain vantage point of the supernatural. And, you know, obviously I'm a spirit-filled believer. I am a follower of Yeshua, and my whole life I've spent working towards this. I feel like I've spoken with my other brother about this. We've been prepped for something for a long time. It's hard not to feel like that. You see everything going on in the world, and the vantage point at which you see things, and when you reveal just these little nuggets of information that are commonplace knowledge to you, to somebody else, about the supernatural, and it blows their mind, and you're like, I learned that when I was 12 years old. I feel like this, my whole life just been kind of progressing to the point that we're at now, where I'm really want to start doing more for the kingdom with SRT. And from a ministry perspective, I try and do that through my business as best I can. We just got off the ground with our new storefront 3 months in, and God's already blessing us. So really thankful for that. I think that through you getting led to the Lord, and then the Lord kind of flipping all of your experience with the supernatural and Christian heritage and everything else kind of just put us where we sit today, having this conversation, being beacons of light in the darkness when the rest of the world is acting crazy, and we have a reason for why it's acting crazy.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You're a young man now. You're not my little boy anymore. So you're a young man now. You've been out in the world. You went off to college. You went to FSU. You came back. You did the law enforcement thing for a little while. You worked in the doing security in the clubs. So you've been out in the world. You've seen the darkness, especially with law enforcement. How did your background in this, and the supernatural, help you there?
It helped me quite a bit because I understood the nature of why things were happening. See, when you understand why a weed is growing, and because you understand what its root is, it gives you an appreciation for how to pull that weed. And in law enforcement and security, when I was dealing with people who were, whether they were violent or afflicted or any number of issues, there was always in my head, there was a spiritual reason for why it was going on. The spiritual reason always superseded whatever I could naturally do. So my experience with the supernatural, you know, and sometimes we've spoken about this before, you have to fight that react naturally portion. I still do it at 33, going on 34, where I want to react naturally to situations when there is a huge supernatural undertone to it that you have to solve, whether it was in law enforcement or security or heck, even in the gym atmosphere that I'm in now. You know, I'm dealing with people. This is the way I see the world. I compare it to the way that Neo saw the Matrix once he died and came back to life. He saw everything in code, and he kind of knew how everything worked because of the code, and seeing that code now in everything, and seeing the spiritual root of everything, it really helped me, you know, especially in some super violent encounters that I was in as a law enforcement officer that I think prayer permitted me not to have to react incredibly violently.
Well, oops, that sounded like we lost somebody. I hope we didn't. Hold on here, I heard a hang up. Yep, we did. We lost Joe. You there, Joe? Nope, we lost you. He'll call back in, hopefully. So you and I will keep going here. So let's back up. Let's back up a little bit. As a child, you didn't understand a lot of this stuff, but you were experiencing a lot of stuff even as a child. Some you remember, some you don't. But give us your earliest memories about the supernatural, the paranormal.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of it was fear-based when I was a child, just because it was always rooted in the dark, which, you know, as a kid, it was hard to walk in power. You were powerful when you needed to, but some of my first memories were, you know, I think the one that sticks out the most was the deliverance that was being done. You were praying over my babysitter, and I woke up suddenly, and I could hear the prayer going on, and I kind of snuck out of my room a bit so I could hear what was happening. And I heard her, you know, kind of struggling through it. And then I heard her say, no, no. And then all of a sudden her voice dropped 12 octaves and no. And, hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was 7 or 8 at that point, my little neck. And I just, you know, that was my first experience. I knew it was all around me. I could feel things around me. You know, I could feel things in Christian Heritage Church, and I was always in tune to what was going on. But that was my first real sense of it with my five senses. It was the first time that I really, you know, I heard it, you know. And soon after that, I had the, you know, incident with whatever the demon was that crawled on my bed as a young child. I was underneath my covers, and I could feel it on top of me, almost like a pet walking on top of you, but there were no pets in the room at the time, and this was much bigger than any cat that we had. And feeling that fear and that dread, but also that was my first lesson in power, because the only word I was able to get out was Jesus. And as soon as I said that word, it was like this giant hand came down. You could feel this new presence reach down, grab whatever it was, and all of a sudden throw it off of me. It was violently off of my bed all of a sudden. And I swear that I still heard a thud against the wall. That might just be a childhood memory that I've made up. But I know that I felt it pulled off, and I just reached up the covers as fast as I could and yelled, "Dad!" And you came running in. We, you know, that tended to be commonplace. You know, dealing with the supernatural in our home was commonplace.
Hold on, so let me see if I can get Joe back. Hold on.
Hello.
Hey, we back? We back?
We are back. I have looped back in.
All right, he's looped back in. Jesse, you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Cool. So we're back. So Jesse was just sharing that story about when he was a young man and the thing crawled in his bed. But like you said, Jesse, that kind of stuff was pretty commonplace in our house, especially in Tallahassee.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tallahassee, obviously we know, you know, like I referred to before, Christian Heritage was a church and there was a lot of moving power of God, but I could still feel, you know, when church wasn't in session and you were alone in those dark hallways, I could still feel evil in that place, which is, you know, to think about that, you know, from a kid's standpoint, 8 years old, not wanting to walk down a dark hallway.
Yeah.
And we've already confirmed as we've gotten older that there was other things in there.
Yeah.
But
there were a lot, actually.
Yeah. Yes. And I could feel that, you know, some people would say, "Oh, you're just a child scared of the dark." And I'm like, "No, this is a whole lot different." And that was commonplace because you were on the front line. And the way I describe it to people is, if you couldn't get to the man, you got to his kids, you got to his family. That's what you tried to do. And it taught me very early on that my guard had to be up.
Let me fill in the blanks here, and Joe, you can jump in about the church thing. I don't want anybody's head spinning around and their bun getting tangled up. A church is a building, and there were parts of that land that were incredibly anointed. But before we got there and before the pastor, my spiritual father, Bob Shelley, got there, there were a lot of things that happened that were ungodly, and there was sin in the foundation of the church, and there were things that had been there before he got there. And I remember when I first got there, having been saved, still, you know, seeing in the spirit, watching this one gnarly-looking troll thing about 6 feet tall walk the hallways, and seeing the stuff we saw and the shadows, even when people couldn't see it, it would freak them out. And it was built into the foundation of the building and that church, and you could cast it out, and the corrupt elements within it would let it back in. But welcome back, Joe. Would you like to be a part of this conversation?
It is good to be back. And I will say this. I mean, truthfully, you know, it always sounds like, you know, throughout our previous shows that I seem to always have something against the church or the building aspect of the church. But truthfully, no, because I agree with what you say. On this, and even what Jesse and many of us believe in, there are certain parts of the church that are extremely anointed. I've got a lot of roots into you know, the Word of Life Church that I was a part of, so I know that there's a lot of life. But I also know on the other aspect with the foundations and certain things, and you know, greed and things happen along the way, and it's a hierarchy, and It's an organization that you pay to, you know. So it depends on how we look at both ends of church. That being said, I have to say, meeting you, Richard, it took, you know, I'd say probably between 1998 to meeting you, I was on the fence about a lot of things, and there was a lot of blanks that weren't filled in. And you filled in those blanks, having been there, having been part of church and doing what you were doing as a pastor. I got to learn the commercial aspect of things and then the real deep spiritual stuff. So when you started doing the online Bible studies, you know, going back when we were first experimenting about this, I think it was somewhere around 2010, and I remember the first time we all got together, and there was technical issues, and I remember you walking across the floor in your kitchen, and I guess you happen to be shown in the picture, and you're like, pay no attention to that man behind the screen, and I just started laughing. But the point is, church does not have to be in those buildings. It could be where we were at that particular time, And that's how I feel about it. So there's a lot of good things, but there are a lot of unfortunate openings that the enemy can still attack us in even through the buildings.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, being as a young man, let's go from there and bring up, as you began to understand the supernatural. I remember the people that used to run children's church coming out going, wow, Jesse prays these prayers. And I go, what do you mean? Well, most of the other kids pray these normal little prayers, and Jesse's binding and rebuking and pulling down. I mean, it's you tend to have a perspective most people don't have because it was exposed to you early on.
Yeah, absolutely. I a couple ways I describe it to my layman friends. I tell them that I ate filet my entire life, which may or may not be considered a healthy thing depending on who you talk to, and their tolerance to red meat. That's the fitness part of me. But I ate filet my entire life, and I was fed the best, you know, between the teaching that you gave and Pastor Shelley, and being around what I was around. It allowed me to take tutelage and teaching and like anything most people get. And I tried to absorb as much of it as I could and really get in tune with the Lord and the Word. And I loved it. I loved my relationship with Him. I still do. To my nerd friends, I use an analogy which neither of the two of you will understand, but there is a TV show called Dragon Ball Z that's been on for a long time. And there's the main character, he has a son, and his son, even at the age of 13, is far beyond any of the other fighters in the Dragon Ball Z world. And it's because he takes the main guy takes his son into this hyperbolic chamber where they train together for hours and hours and hours upon end, where time doesn't really matter. I tell that to my nerd friends, and they totally get it. You guys are totally confused right now. But ultimately, it means that the Lord allowed me to get the best teaching, the best upbringing possible, where I was around his spirit all the time, and his spirit is the best teacher. No matter what setting we were in a setting that allowed for the move of the Holy Spirit, even as a child, that allowed for the move of the Holy Spirit. And I knew the power. I understood the power. I understood the power that we walk in and that we're supposed to walk in every single day, especially with the powers of darkness and the power that they have. And it's just when you're a kid, you're scared of the things that you can't see. You're scared of the things that go bump in the night, even if you know that power, because ultimately, you're still a kid.
Yeah, I have a bounty hunter friend of mine named Cobra, and I joked with him about bringing him along, and he just goes, no. If I can't see it and shoot it, I don't want to be there. So he's the same way. But you know, Joe, you have a young man. You have a younger son. He's not. I mean, he's grown up now. He's getting there. At any time when you're doing the paranormal stuff, did you ever think, well, I want Joey to do this, or did you realize this is dangerous stuff?
That's a great question. It, you know, he had always, you know, growing up when he was younger, he was involved with the church a lot, and he would attend the Bible studies, and even when I was doing the praise and worship drumming, so he got a lot of the stuff that was going on. When the whole paranormal wave came in and I started doing the investigating, and this is just before I even met you, he really was intrigued, but he didn't want much to do with it. And then, of course, a couple of incidents that happened to him. And I remember sitting there telling him, you know what, this isn't for everybody, and I understand that. I mean, the most important thing is your walk with the Lord, and you know, you're going to go through trials and tribulations, and I can guide you for so long, but ultimately you're going to make your decision, and you're going to have that free will to decide what you want to do. But first and foremost, you've got to make sure that you can continue a relationship with the Lord going forward, no matter what else happens. And I remember when he first entered high school, we had a couple of scenarios that happened with him, and I remember telling him, and I think I got it actually from you, how you approached that with Jesse and Chris when they were younger, that, you know what, Joey, you can think that you've got everything in control, but that one little area that the enemy needs to just come in and snap of a finger and take you right out, that's what he's looking to do. And I don't know if he took me serious at that point, but I think deep down now, it's all starting to set in. I mean, he's 19 now. I think things are starting to set in where he's going and what the most important things are. And I say, you know, with this paranormal stuff, you know, yeah, sure, if you want to watch these shows or you know, give any, you know, consideration to being involved with it, I understand it, but the key is to get yourself right first, and that spiritual walk being, you know, the number one choice of above all, if anything.
Well, he brought up an interesting point, Jesse. Well, you know, a lot of people out there have children from young to young adults. When you were growing up, high school and even college, off away back in Tallahassee, where I have that price on my head, did you become desensitized to it at any time, or did you want to block it out and say, hey, I just want to be a kid?
I never thought that was an option. Maybe because turning a blind eye to something never felt like an option to me. There were times where I, of course, strayed and was rebellious, and you know, especially college, especially my first couple years of college. But ultimately, I don't think I ever came a day where I just said, you know what, I don't want to do this. I just want to be, you know, a young man. I want to be me, because I knew that you were still going to be you, and my family was still going to be my family, and the Lord was still the Lord, and his calling was still the same. So what I wanted in that scheme of, you know, thought was inconsequential.
Yeah. But we are natural. We're let me rephrase that. We're supernatural beings in a natural world. At least once you become born again, you are. But we still have to recognize that there is a roaring lion. There are demons. There are fallen angels. And I've been dealing with that from the crib. Joe, a lot, you know, when he was younger, you dealt with it as you grew up in and out. Were there any moments that you were, beside the one you told us, were you scared? Were you thinking, hey, this is beyond me?
Yeah, I actually had a moment my freshman year of college where, man, whatever it was scared me so bad that I took off down my dorm room hallway, out of my room. You know, I don't remember it that well. I was asleep, and then all of a sudden, I was being smothered by something, and I couldn't see it, and it was frightening to wake up to that. And I knew exactly what it was, and I did everything I could to jump up and speak in tongues and run out of that dorm room, afraid, standing at the end of the hallway, my heart thumping, beating incredibly fast, and not wanting to go back in the room.
Yeah, Chris had a similar thing. Wish you were here. He had the similar thing at FIU, which he talks about in the recorded interviews that we did in McCullough. Everybody's had that moment of you can't speak and you can't even say the name of Jesus. And what I tell everybody, well, if you think it and think it really loud, you are broadcasting it, and that will help too. But and some of the bigger, stronger ones can fry your brain. Larry would tell everybody he's had those moments, and this is a ex-Navy, you know, retired Navy SEAL, one of the elite of the elite, and you have those moments. You're dealing with something could be thousands or millions of years old. And but for the name of the Lord and the authority that's been delegated, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. You got a question for Jesse here, Joe? You can just go and let me talk all night.
Well, no, I was actually listening to Jesse because I like the way that he was saying that. You know, the question I will say, and this is to all of us and you guys, is, you know, I've noticed that a lot of these colleges and these dorms are haunted, are definitely have things going on. There is a dorm in Boston that people claim to see an entity, dark entity, which demonic, walking the halls. And I notice more and more these schools are doing that. Now, Jesse, I would say to you at this point, when you were in there, I mean, obviously we know that a lot of stuff happens in colleges, you know, partying, things go on. We all know that. Do you know if anybody within, you know, when you were in school, took that one step further, meaning any cultic practice, pagans, you know, witchcraft, anything like that going on in there that might have stirred the enemy as far as with what was happening? Or would you think it was just a combination of just everybody living in sin, that all of that together manifested and gave enough power for the demonic spirit to actually enter there? Do you think it was a combination of both?
I'd say it's a combination of both. If you don't know anything about the town of Tallahassee, which I have had the genuine experience of seeing the underbelly of it as both a child and an adult, it is a town itself that is full of the cult and the demonic, and there is a lot of activity in Tallahassee. There always has been. Anybody who's lived there will tell you that. Anyone who, whether they be believer or not, they will tell you things go on there. And Dad, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Billy Graham said he would never go back.
Yeah,
he did. Because of
it was
exactly
the only town, the only town he left in defeat and said, "I'll never be back."
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and so I believe that it's a combination of two things. I believe that obviously where there is sin, God cannot be where there is sin. So the darkness can, it can grow. We saw that in Orlando recently, with the darkness taking advantage of an area where there was no God, no sin, lots of sin. And I think it's a combination of both of those things. Because there is a lot of occult and witchcraft practice. And I mean, if you look at Tallahassee's history, I mean, you don't even have to go that far back. I mean, Bundy's rampage in Tallahassee, all the unsolved missing persons cases, children driving up and down the street after Halloween and seeing the carcasses on the side of the road from the animal sacrifice. There's the whole town itself is a breeding ground for that.
Yeah,
it didn't help that my dad used to kick them in the teeth on a routine basis. And then when I went back to school, they were all like, hey, look who's here. The son's in town. Let's mess with him. That didn't help at all.
You have a couple of things, Tallahassee. One is it's built on Indian burial grounds. That's one. Two, huge Masonic presence. Three, a lot of slaves were murdered there. I mean, brutally lynched and murdered. You have all of that. Jesse, the dorm that you were in was one of the oldest. Didn't somebody commit suicide there?
Yeah, Smith Hall, someone did commit suicide there, and it wasn't even that long before I lived there.
Right.
And then it happened after we moved out. So it's been recently demolished. They tore it down. But the Smith Hall itself was the second oldest dorm on Florida State campus at the time that I was living there.
Yeah, so there was all of that going on. Plus, you had a huge presence of witches. There's a road called Meridian Road, which I think runs straight up through Florida. And they all lived on a section of Meridian Road because most of them worked at the university. If they didn't work at the university, they worked at the colleges, the university, and the community college. So there's a huge, huge occult presence in that town. And as Jesse said, I did kind of annoy some of the powers there, and there was some backlash. It kind of happens. We're talking about this normal because we've all grown up in it, we've been in it. But you know, how do your friends and anybody else that you deal with when they find out about me or SRT or your past experiences? How do they feel about all that?
You know, it's a mixed bag. You know, some people who try and poke holes in it right out the gate, and some people who sit there and just listen. I think the supernatural and the elements of it have become much more commonplace in today's society. It's not a shock anymore to talk about it. How many ghost story television shows do we have? Maybe just about as many as the murder shows that we have on TV. It's very, very common now. This isn't abnormal. The supernatural to a lot of people has become less super and more natural. And there's not a lot of shock that comes from people. Now, when the shock happens is when I describe it and then I say that, you know, with SRT, we don't just find it. We search and destroy. We help the people. We don't just go in and say, hey, look, you have an infestation of the demonic. All right, here's your piece of paper. Thanks for the videotape. We're out. Good luck to you. Here's some sagey smoke stuff. Hope the house smells terrible and you still have an infestation of the demonic. Congratulations. We don't
right.
do that.
Exactly.
And when that's the part that people are like taken aback by. Like, huh, what do you mean that you destroy it? What do you mean that you help them? And that's usually the part I have to really describe. The rest of it, I really don't have to do much because people already watch it. And even the skeptics don't even have that big a problem with it anymore, the people that I've met. And it may just be my generation.
That was a good question. That's a question that I wanted to actually ask you on that, Jesse, is being involved with SRT and obviously doing what you do with your job and you know, there's a time and a place to witness. And then I'm sure you take advantage of as much opportunity as you can to witness to somebody and be there to answer questions, but you also have a job to do as well. Outside of that, and I think that's the main question that I have is, when you do tell somebody about SRT and what you do and what we do, and maybe it brought them to YouTube videos and some of the stuff that we have, you had said that it seems that this generation might be receiving it much more. Do they have a problem with the concept of going in and, you know, getting rid of entities out of homes, or are they fine with that? But then when you start mentioning the name of Jesus and the name that you come, you know, under authority there, when you use the name of Jesus, do they have more of a problem with the religious aspect, the Christian aspect of it? Meaning, let's take the paranormal aspect of what they do and let's just shelve over the Christian side of it. Or are they starting to receive both of them?
Do you have any more oars, or is that your last oar?
No, those are all my oars, linking to about four different questions in there.
Okay, well,
that
got
makes
it.
Four oars or two boats.
four oars to an A. Listen, four oars to an A equals one response.
The chasm exists between the supernatural element and the Jesus element with my generation, because Yeshua inherently is the line in the sand, has been for a very long time, and now more so than ever, is taunted and made fun of and not taken seriously anymore. And because of that, we have a generation that's been inundated with that. When you bring that part of it up, that's the first thing they think about. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that we have this, this generation that's been inundated with garbage about Jesus and not about his power and not about the power he walked in and the miracles he walked in or who he was or what he taught us and what the power that he bestowed upon us. None of that. It's, remember how Saturday Night Live mocked him the other night, or Family Guy made fun of him as the 2,000-year-old virgin, or whatever it is that occurred. That's what they think of. And that's why that becomes the hardest part. And it's not hard for me. I just say things a matter of factly. If you accept it, you accept it. And if not, you want to talk about it, I'm totally open to speaking to you about it. But ultimately, I can't. My job is not to sit there and change your mind. You don't necessarily need my help. The people who need my help are in SRT's help and our help and the Lord's help. I don't want to come off as I'm like some sort of superhero or anything. The people that need our help are the ones who are crying out for help. And those are the ones that I want to bring the power of Yeshua to. Those are the ones that I want to bring the redemption to and the salvation to. And of course I want all my friends to know the Lord, but I'm not going to sit there and get into a science versus Jesus discussion with them if I don't have to, because most of the time it doesn't end well. It usually ends with people being frustrated on the other end of the conversation with me.
Yeah, and that's not the goal. The goal is not to drive them off. The goal is to be honest and tell the truth in love, but not drive them away. You know, the thing that inspired SRT back in, we met 2007, Joe. So it would have been early 2007, was watching Ghost Hunters and the frustration with the fact that they really don't do anything for anybody. And now we kind of know a lot of what they do is maybe not on the up and up. I won't say it's fake because I don't want to get sued here, but sci-fi has a lot of lawyers. But I will say that it's not what they appear to be. But you've seen a lot of these shows, even before you got involved in this, even before I started it. What's your take on the whole paranormal TV genre?
Is it...
Well...
Just,
oh, okay.
Oh, me. Yes, me. Because, Joe, you've actually been on the shows. I've just watched them. My take is... They frustrate the heck out of me. They've frustrated the heck out of me for almost 10 years now. I hate, you know, how many times I text you. Just watch this episode. Can we help these people? Just watch this. Can we help these people? Because all I see, every time I watch it, all I see is wrong and people who still need help. And it's a lot of it's entertainment based. I get that. And you can tell when the stories are entertainment oriented. But then you can also see when the people are desperate and they're in despair and they're helpless. And my wife will tell you the same thing. I just sit there and go, I wish we could go in there and help them. I wish we could go in there and help them. I really wish the Lord would allow us to go in there and help them. That happens every time I watch them. Ultimately, I've stopped watching the shows because of it.
Well, Joe, why don't you pick up on that? Because you're I don't want to say you're from that world. You put your foot in the waters. You've been a guest analyst on a couple of shows. Do you think the people really want help, or do you think it's all smoke and mirrors and it's all entertainment?
Well, that's a tough one. I know there are people out there that want help. I mean, obviously there are in the world. I don't know if all those people that want help are on these TV shows, because there is the entertainment aspect of it. I think there are many cases out there that aren't as big as they claim to be. And it's a combination of, you know, can we take somebody telling a story and make them really dramatic sounding? And even though we're not going to come up with any evidence, sometimes somebody telling the story or a person being interviewed could be so compelling enough that it's enough to have other people believe that and say, wow, that's a shame what that family went through. But at the end of it, you never get any resolvement. There's no resolution. And then, of course, filming and being a part of some of the shows, I can say that I'm also frustrated with, because a lot of times they twist some of the things that you tell them and they take that to a whole nother level with it. So I, you know, we'll save that for another show when I just want to rant for the next, you know, 15 minutes. But I can say that now being a part of it, it is frustrating. And I think now would be the perfect time for SRT to come out, because people would see a whole different take on what they deem as paranormal or investigating. I think maybe 5-6 years ago, the world wasn't ready for that. Mm-hmm. I think they were more intrigued with the acting aspect of it and teams fighting and not getting along and creating that dramatic TV show. But I think if somebody was to come around now and walked in there and truly loved that family or did those things and told them that they were here to help them and genuinely took them through that whole, you know, endeavor together, and then did a follow up and you know, there was resolution and brought that family to the Lord, people would obviously look at us and say, hey, they're a bunch of freaks. But I guarantee that the majority of them, because of the world we live in and the state that it's in right now, would receive what we were saying. And I think this would be the perfect opportunity to have SRT come on the scene. And I hope that happens within the next year.
Yeah, if anybody listening out there wants to write the check, I can send you the address. Let me throw this out. We have multiple generations of people represented here and listening. Baby boomer, I'm not sure what you are, Joe. I think you're on the edge of the baby boomer. I'm not sure. Jesse, I think you're, Generation X? You're not a millennial, that's Chris. But be that as it may, from your perspective, Jesse, amongst your friends, either slightly younger or slightly older, what do you see going on supernaturally and spiritually? Do you see them being interested in the Lord and coming into the kingdom of light, or are they too enamored with the darkness?
The obsession with the darkness is disturbing. It's frustrating to see. I don't hear a lot of my friends talk about the Lord. I don't hear a lot of my friends openly discuss the evil that's going on in the world with the thought process of, you know, how God can fix it. Instead, everybody's enamored with even my age group, the next Harry Potter book or whatever magical thing they saw, or the Ouija board or these witches, or it's all these things that the enemy has decided to take and wrap up in a pretty little bow. But on the inside, it's still the same poisonous crap that it always has been. And that I see us drifting farther and farther away.
Well, they're being targeted. They're being targeted by the media, sci-fi especially. They have a TV show called The Magicians, which are about college age and young adults discovering their powers. Almost every show or TV or movie is about people suddenly they're mutants or they're superheroes or they suddenly have this magical power, and that would be intriguing to me if I wasn't saved. But because the church hasn't answered the call, and because there isn't an alternative explanation of it, i.e. SRT out there, the enemy is just like a wolf. They're coming in, taking this, you know, two sheep here, two sheep there. Oop, there's a baby lamb, and they're just grabbing them. And, you know, you're out there, your storefront, your studio's right in the middle of the city. You live right down the road from the Pulse nightclub that had the shooting. We are walking in the middle of darkness in what I believe to be the onset of the days of Noah. Now, here you are, a young man, you know, married a couple of years. The Lord tarries, maybe a child. Tough world to want to bring a child into.
It's frightening. It's frightening. We've discussed that before about how frightening it is to, in today's day and age, bring a child into this world. Because I'm a protective guy by nature, and so now I'm going to be not just trying to protect me and my wife and my home. And, you know, we already experienced the loss this year that was so devastating, and I believe it was spiritually based, and I believe it was me letting my guard down and allowing the enemy to do something. But ultimately, it is scary. And yeah, you're right. We're less than a quarter mile away from that Pulse nightclub shooting. And you could feel the evil around the place. It was almost like a cackle of laughter as you drove by of what the enemy had done there and how many lives he had taken from potentially entering the kingdom of God. And you're right. You're absolutely right. This is a time where part of me wants to stand and part in the other, stand and fight, and the other part of me wants to move to the wilderness in the middle of nowhere and over to an island somewhere and get as far away from things as possible to try and protect my family.
It's tough. You know, I want you to jump in here, Joe, but look at it from my perspective. I mean, not only did I have the natural threat, which I was very protective of, which, you know, kind of became the joke of the family, but you get it now. Whenever we went out to eat, I took the seat that could see the door. I took the seat that could see the room. When we walked, when we went to the parks, the theme parks, it was never enjoyable for me because I was always on high alert. Now you add the spiritual element to it, understanding that there's a whole nother world going on top of that. And here we are in October, Halloween. We're leading up to a demonic high holy day. In the middle of it, we're having some of the highest holy days in the Feast of Israel. And there's a cataclysmic confrontation coming. I can feel it. I was up. I was agitated the last couple of nights. I was very agitated and in prayer last night. We are heading towards something. We are heading towards, of course, the final confrontation, the final countdown. I need that song. Where's that band that's supposed to jump out of my closet? We're heading towards the final countdown.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, that was just me being me. But we're heading towards this event in history that we've talked about, that the snake oil salesmen sell the DVDs about, who won't know what to do. How do you look at it, Joe? You have a son and a daughter. One's 19. How old is Brianna now?
She is 16. Right. And the band's name is Europe.
Oh, it's Europe. Okay, we need to hire them. The key. But you have two children getting ready to get sucked up into the world.
It's very scary. I agree with Jesse. It's definitely a scary situation because there's the part of you that is in SRT mode, as we call it, and then there's the other part of you that just, you know, gets caught up. You want to run. You get caught up in the world, especially when you have children and you go about your business and working and all those things. And it is hard to sometimes walk in that spirit all the time. And obviously, we know that the enemy, it's a continuous battle. But for me, as they're getting older now, 16 and 19, every so often I have to just, you know, stop, you know, think, listen, look at my surroundings and say, hey, okay,
it's time to regroup here. It's time to get back in focus, because no matter what, we've all been marked in this situation. We're all a target right now. And there's no time for us to slack, because the enemy won't slack. So we have to just continuously fight ahead, forge ahead, move on, and rely solely on the strength of the Lord.
You know, the theme for this occult Oktoberfest was darkness falls, and the concept being where the world is being enveloped with darkness, and even though light dispels it, there's not a whole lot of it, at least not in my opinion. Both of you, I've come out of the fitness industry. You're both still in it. Does being in the middle of an industry that does promote health but really promotes vanity and things of the flesh, does that ever become tiresome?
You want to take that first, Joe?
Yeah, for me, yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I can admire people who work out, take care of themselves, especially with the personal trainers and some of the things that they do, the classes that they have, you know, the TRX. I mean, there are people that are making gains. There are people who had a goal to either gain weight, lose weight, and do what they needed to do, and have made those gains. And I'm happy to meet those type of people, or the people that come in and say, I've never been in a health club before, and I'm scared, but my doctor says, you know, I have diabetes and I need to lose weight. Those are the reasons that keep you motivated. But then there's the other aspect of it. There are the other people that come in, and it is all about imagery. It's all about wearing the least possible, the most tightest pants that they can wear. It's about selfies.
They're on the prowl.
It's about selfies. It's always about stopping and taking a selfie and posting it on Snapchat while you're working out. And if you're not in that, if you're not walking in the spirit at that point of time, absolutely. I mean, we could always be sidetracked by what the devil puts in front of us. So it does. It teeter-totters. It's really, really tough. I could say that. And it's tough for a lot of people that are involved in it. The overweight people have to look at the people that are in shape, and they got to get discouraged and say, I'm never going to look like that. That person can eat whatever they want. They can walk around, take pictures of themselves, and they're always going to look good.
That's a good point.
That's the tough. Those are the spirit tough of, things. So,
spirit of rejection and condemnation is always present.
Absolutely. So you're in a whole different arena in that health club. It's like the world in that health club centered around fitness.
I can tell you that being in a small business owner and owning our own studio helped shield me from some of that stuff that I saw when I worked in the large gym. And I can tell you that the hardest part about being in this industry is seeing the people that are successful, incredibly successful in it, and the vanity that's associated with it, and the pride that's associated with it. You know, I know that Chris can speak on this, being in the entertainment industry. It's really, really frustrating when you do things for all the right reasons, and the person who's doing it just to take that perfect selfie, or, you know, it's really hard to see. We Aubrey and I have struggled with that. We've had to pray about it. I've seen a couple people open a gym and they're an overnight success, and it's all about, they don't know anything about exercise. They take great pictures and they promise these amazing results to their members and then don't follow through. And it's all about taking a great picture. And it's really, really hard to see that the success in this industry can be predicated on vanity and can be predicated on pride. But I just keep in mind every single day that why I'm doing this, why I got into this in the first place.
Right.
And that's got to be the key.
Be a light in the darkness. Hey, I remember at the health club in New York, and this was one of the posh health clubs of the day before they even had them, and the wealthy people that came in there that were on the prowl. I remember, here I am married, Jesse's an infant. I had women, some very famous women, come up and proposition me, and I would go, you do know I'm married. I just had a baby. Well, I don't care. I want you. And excuse me, you know, I wasn't even a Christian, and that offended me. And here we are in a society that just glorifies it, and the enemy is so empowered by all of it, and then we're called to be the best we can, to do everything as unto the Lord in a world that really doesn't want anything to do with us or to do with the Lord, which kind of brings me to the place to wrap this up. Jesse, what do you see for you? This is going to be a tough one. I didn't send you this in the list. Where are you going spiritually? Where do you want to be? What do you see for you?
Oh, that's tough.
And the reason I'm asking this,
the constant battle for me,
there are other people out there that are
is letting the things of the world get in the way of my walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Hello. Hello, hello. Dad?
Yeah, you're there. We hear you.
Okay. The hardest balancing act in my life spiritually is balancing the spiritual and the natural at the same time. I haven't quite got a hold of how to do that. That's been the hardest thing. I want to be used by the Lord, and I want to take all that stuff that we talked about and be able to use it. And in the same token, I also want to be a successful business owner and a great fitness coach, and dare I say, icon of the fitness industry, where I can lead people to the Lord in that way as well. It's this really hard balancing act between the two that one side of it's scary. I know what's coming. It's really scary when you know what's coming. You know what inevitably life is going to turn into day in and day out. And that element is on the way from a spiritual aspect of it. So the question itself, I want to be used in the way that he prepped me to be used. And I'll be the first one to tell you, as a young man, and something I've spoken with my other friends who are believers, I need to get out of my own way about 95% of the time.
Well, it's tough. You have to pay your bills. You have a wife who deserves your attention and your affection. You have your furry kids. Some people call them pets. We call them our furry kids. You have all of these things that potentially are blessings and distractions. And you have to find a way to balance the two. And I'll be honest, my focus has always been the Lord, sometimes to the detriment of my family. But that's just the way I ride. I'm locked, I'm loaded, I'm in there. And also, I have this concern about who it is that wants to attack me and attack those things I have. So I don't have the opportunity to let my guard down, which makes being social and all those things difficult. But there are a lot of more people out there that are going through a lot of things that are your age. And I don't know how much of our audience is in their age group. I think it's pretty spread out. But if you have sons and daughters to our listeners who need to hear what Jesse has to say, you need to get them to listen to this. What would you say to somebody your age that's struggling with, A, making a commitment to the Lord, and B, acknowledging that there is an enemy out there seeking to devour them?
To the young men and women who are struggling with that every single day, I would say the same thing that I tell somebody in my gym who is having a problem with an exercise. Go back to your basics. It's the thing that has gotten me through whenever I've struggled, is going back to the basics. My basics with the Word are starting my day in prayer, starting my day in the Word, even if it's something that I've read 4,700 times, feeding my spirit man with it every day, and then asking the Lord as part of my daily prayer to help set my mind on things of Him and off of the things of the world. When my day starts like that, I can unequivocally tell you that my days are better, that I'm more in tune with the Spirit, and that somehow, some way, the day never overwhelms me and I can find time with Him. But I have to go back to my basics to do that. So if you're struggling with that, if you're 33, 34 years old and that's a struggle, go back to your basics. Go back and rekindle that relationship with Him that you start every day in His presence.
Amen.
Amen.
What about you, Joe? I'm gonna put you on the spot here. We're going to run over, folks. I really don't care. And if you're hearing a little lag, that's Skype. You can thank Skype for all the weird noises. But go ahead, Joe.
I would have to say I agree with what Jesse is saying. I mean, sometimes I am definitely my own worst enemy. And I create a lot of these things that happen because I'm always in my own way. And I know what to do. I know how to execute certain things. And yet, it doesn't always happen that way. And I, like you, Richard and Jesse, we all have a passion. Would we love to be doing SRT full time? Of course. We would love to have the opportunity to be successful in what we do, but have the time that we need to minister and be on the road? Of course. Jesse being, you know, a business owner, the future, family, we do. I tend to wonder, where are we going to be? Where am I going to be, you know, 20 years from now? Is there a retirement? You know, there's no pension. I don't think that's going to happen in my case. So I tend to sometimes get sidetracked by all those things that happen, which create little deterrents of what I need to do. And I know they're just blocks that the enemy throws at me because he wants me to fear. He wants me to worry about those things that are happening in, you know, in the future when I have to focus on the now. So I would say for anybody in Jesse's age bracket, I mean, all of us, I mean, we're going to the 30s, 40s, 50s. This is what we have to deal with. And my message to everybody out there is the same thing. Go back to your basics. Go back to what led you to reading and praying, and how that time when you first were born again, and what it felt like, and the things that you were doing, and those things that were so special to you. Go back to those scriptures that you highlighted, and read them over and over and over and over again, you know, and just meditate on them, because those basics, that's your ammunition. That is your survival manual. That is your roadmap to the future. And where you'll eventually be, because we are all just pilgrims passing through. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. It's just that, can we finish the course? Can we go that distance until that time calls, when the Lord calls us home? And can we be that light in darkness to do that for the people out there, including ourselves and, of course, our families, but also the world and the people who also need the Lord? Man. And that's how I feel about that whole situation. It's tough. It's scary. But I do believe in the end, we will persevere.
Amen. Hey, Jesse, if anybody out there wants to get in shape, and even you do long distance training, how do they find you?
Well, you can find me through my website. It's the easiest way. So wearepmfit.com. Wearepmfit.com. Not like RPM like on a car, but like R as in A-R-E. Yeah. And not or either, Joe, because there have been quite a few ors from you tonight.
Yeah, a lot of bugs. It's wearepmfit.com. Or if yeah, we got another or. Bring the boat in. you can go to supernaturalresponse.net, and I will forward whatever message, and Jesse can reach out to you. But interesting show, special, different show. It's a lot kind of old school. We used to do a lot of this kind of stuff in the beginning, and we probably need to do some more of it. It would have been great for Chris to be here. We could have just kept going. Maybe we'll have to see if he'll come on by himself. That might be tough. Chris is the Sam of the Supernatural Brother. You're the Demon, which is kind of odd because you're the tall guy. It's whatever. But I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know our listeners have been blessed. I guess I'll see you soon. Probably talk to you soon.
Yes, absolutely. I loved being on. Thanks for having me tonight.
All right, man. We'll do it again.
God bless. Right, Jesse. Take care. God bless.
All right. God bless, guys. Bye.
Final thoughts here, Joe?
Well, you know something, you know, going back to basics, I think, is the theme. You know, Jesse said it, you said it, I've said it, even the origins of reflections has always been the basics. And that's where we just kind of get together and share our feelings, share our thoughts. And I think that's the anointing. That is when all of a sudden our listeners out there feel that, feel what we're feeling what we're saying. And I think that's what makes us effective and has made us effective. And maybe it was our own little prophetic moment there, Richard, when you said that maybe we need to revisit this. And I think maybe for 2017, we do. I think we do go back to basics. We do
go back to that upper room when you originally started your online Bible study. So
well,
I think it was
what?
A great
I'm
show,
gonna,
too.
I'm going to really go over here. That's kind of okay. hard to do because this is a paranormal show, theme
True.
Show. There aren't a whole lot of people in the paranormal community who want to get real, biblically, scripturally real. They're off into paganism. They've taken a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They've pushed it all together and say, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, wait a second. You're using sage. It's Native American. You got the holy water. We won't go there. You're doing all this paranormal, occult-based stuff. Not a whole lot of people want to come on, so we're just going to have to work harder finding people that want to get back to basics. Because, you know, we joke about it. No joke about it. It became kind of a theme. It's really dark out there. We're going to leave the light on. Well, it's more than leaving the light on. We need some halogen. We need some super beams. We need some people that really want to shine. And we need some people that want to write a check. Because after listening to Jesse talk, here's a young man who's hot for the Lord and ready to go. Your age, I'm my age. Larry's his age, and we're all sitting here chomping at the bit to go chase off the wolves, rescue the lambs, do what we've been called to do. And unfortunately, the shysters and the snake oil salesmen and all the people out there are getting the checks. Well, here's what we need to do, listeners. Over the next week, Feast of Tabernacles, over the next week, I want you to pray. And I want you to start praying for SRT and for Firefall to be able to hit the road. We need to break through. We need to break out. We need to go do what we were called to do. And set the captives free. And, you know, that's my end rant. That's another Back to Basics. I used to do that at the end of every show. Cultoberfest Night 3. I have no idea what we'll do in the next 2 weeks. Apparently, people don't want to come on the show. I think word has gotten out there. They just don't want to get confronted or called out of their stuff. But the Lord will provide. The Lord will open the door. We'll figure it out. Maybe I'll strong arm Chris to come on, and we'll see what'll happen. But we're going to shine the light. We're going to continue to do this, and then the final night, Joe and I will do something we haven't done in a while. We'll give our testimonies. We'll get a little deeper and a little more personal, and we'll really pound on the whole Halloween jack-o'-lanterns and everything that's going on. We're going to do what we do. We're going to be who we are, and we thank you for being along for the ride. And light is on, staying on, not going to turn it off. It's solar powered. It's sun, S-O-N powered. I'm Richard Grund on behalf of Joe Citrone, SRT. Thank Jesse for being here. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.